Hello, heroes, and welcome to the My Hero Academia After Show. We're talking episodes 7 and 8. Oh my goodness, these were great together. We get action, we get powers, we get discussions of what really matters. We also have an unboxing and exciting news for you. Stay tuned.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, heroes? Talking My Hero Academia Season 4, Episodes 7 and 8, otherwise Episodes 70 and 71. Oh my goodness, I'm so happy we got to watch these together, because I would have been so bummed if we stopped on 7 and been like, and wait,
they worked perfectly.
No! Yeah. So good together. Well, thank you for joining us. We also have news for you, as well as Japan Crate unboxing. Yummy goodness. All right, my name is Carrie Lane, joined by my awesome panel.
Hey, everyone. Veronica Valencia here.
Hey, guys. It's Ollie Drennan, your dream hero. Did you guys figure out your quirks yet?
No.
Get it together.
I have not thought about it.
Fine. Whatever.
Ollie, what'd you think of these two episodes?
Oh, gosh. Well, it's great to be back again. You know, I missed you guys. It's just getting really good. I think we're finally getting, everyone just keeps saying that it's getting darker, and I believe them now, because it's getting creepy. It's getting, their stakes are getting raised, and there's blood, and there's a little girl in trouble that we need to saving, and I'm ready for her to just murk everyone, but it's just getting so good, and it's like, every single week when we watch an episode, I don't want it to end, and I just am living for this season. It's getting really more mature.
Yeah, Veronica.
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna unapologetically rant right now because
go for it, girl.
These two episodes. Well, first of all, I had to watch like three episodes, but these episodes are so good. They are intense. They have me on the edge of my seat because I am so excited about what's to happen next. And actually, the thing that I love about My Hero Academia and that I'm learning this season is that the first couple of seasons we really learned a lot about Class 1A. And kind of all of those students and got to learn about them as characters. But I love how this show has become so well-rounded and that this season, it's kind of less about them at this point, and it's kind of showing us how pro-hero civilization works. How we get to introduce to more pro-heroes. We get to see how they kind of, you know, go about their day, how they work with civilian police officers to take down crime. And we really do get to see what these kids are striving to do. Because right now we just see their hardships and like what they're trying to do, but now we get to finally see, oh, this is what they're trying to get to. This is awesome.
Because we know, that's really good.
I hadn't thought of it exactly that way, but I'm like, yeah, that's true. Because we just hear these, this is what they want to do. Now we can see what they want to do in action.
Yeah, I think a lot of the season is like lore building too.
Yeah.
It's we know all the characters basically, but also we get more characters. But yeah, like you're expanding the world and not so much the characters. Yeah, for sure. But it's definitely interesting to know all the dynamics and the politics of becoming that pro hero.
And then we meet villains who essentially are trash, which we talk about that, of like, but what happens when they don't get regarded properly by society? Like, it's a well-rounded universe that has been created here rather than like, but wait, what about this? What about this? They have answers for that. They're like, hey, we've thought about that. All right, episode 7, go. Otherwise, episode 70. Man, having to keep that work-study secret was just eating up Deku so much that he couldn't eat. Poor kid. I felt so bad for him of just like that anxiety you can have. But who does he talk to?
Yeah.
And he's sitting there.
I feel like he could.
He could say something.
He could say something to Mirio or maybe Uraraka or Froppy. Or C. Yeah. But I feel like it's just hard for him. And I know it kind of rolled over into this episode, just the not only not being able to say anything, but the guilt of both him and Mirio are still feeling of not being able to help Eri. But I think, my personal opinion, I still think in the moment it was the smart thing to not engage because they don't know the extent of Overhaul's power, so that just would have been dangerous. But I'm sure it's just the guilt. The guilt of knowing something was up and you should have done something, especially when other pro heroes have told you, oh, that could have been done there. They probably felt like they failed as heroes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It also just goes to show that despite being a pro hero, I think everyone still has, like, their own concept of what's right to do. Like, everyone has, even if you're a pro hero, like, a group of pro heroes are going to still come to disagreements on what's the proper way of, you know, taking action.
So yeah.
It's like, there's not a wrong or right way to do things sometimes, I feel like.
Absolutely, yeah.
Logic versus ethics, which we talked about before.
And it's not even a should they do it, but he felt he could have, like,
yeah.
Right or wrong, he goes, that's what I need to do, but he didn't physically do it, for sure. With Ida and with Todoroki, of that discussion of, is it okay to cry? I really like that moment.
Yeah.
And Todoroki's like, no, heroes can cry. I was like, oh, thank you, Osho. Like, yeah. It's okay to be emotional about it. Like, it's okay to be sad.
Yeah. Especially for male characters, where they're always so brought up in society to not show that emotion, but it's okay. And it's nice seeing Ida and Todoroki. Like, where have they been? Like,
clearly. That too. We haven't seen them in a hot minute.
Yeah, it's cool. I think this anime also has so many amazing characters, but we haven't seen them in a while. So I always, like, perk up when I see those characters that aren't getting the spotlight, you know, for this season. So it's nice. It's nice to see them.
Well, it's nice to have that kind of friendship where you can be vulnerable, and that's the right. I mean, you should be able to feel that you can be vulnerable anytime, but these were the people that he could trust that with, and then they would, you know, take care of
him. And they gave him food, more importantly.
Yeah. Yes. You want my food? You want my food?
True friendship.
True friendship when you share food.
Yes. So then we get all the kind of searching for the hideouts and learn that that wasn't exactly quite the right focus, but that was how Night Eye kind of gets the lead, which was interesting, because at first they're like, well, what was the point then if... But they ruled them out, though, all the other spots where it could have been.
I have a question.
Yes.
In terms of how Night Eye was able to get the lead.
Yes. Did he find him?
Well, no. It's just, like, I understand they were staking out, so he knew where this, quote-unquote, new caregiver was. But I felt like the caregiver was very naive. The fact that Night Eye was able to just go up to him, like, he's a pro hero with a public face. Wouldn't he know something's up? I guess that's kind of my question that I want to pose to you, Carrie and Ollie, of, like, are pro heroes...
How recognizable
are they or are they kind of just like a celebrity, that there's so many celebrities you can't possibly know them all?
For Night Eye, I feel like a lot of people would know Night Eye too, because he's tied to All Might. So why wouldn't you not know him in a sense? If you know, I'm like, do they have Instagrams, Twitters?
Well,
what's their following?
I'm
going
to go with that henchman is naive. He's also very distracted because he's probably thinking so hard of, like, I need to keep this kid happy or I'm probably going to die. Overhaul's going to kill me. Yeah. So he might be focused on the toy that he knows nothing about, that he's like, sure, help me, thanks. But he might have it later. Like, I almost would have wanted a scene later where he goes, oh, my gosh, that was so-and-so and I was an idiot. Like, you know, or it's that thing of, like, when you actually see celebrities out in the field, it's like... your brain doesn't connect that it's
right
them.
Right away, yeah.
Because you just go, no, I don't expect to see them here. So it could be that, too, that maybe he just wasn't really paying attention. So, but I think he's a henchman. So generally, by definition, most henchmen aren't the smartest ones in the room. You know, that's why they're not the leader. And then also a little thing with the classmates I was going to say, too, of, like, it's interesting that they notice the tension that their fellow classmates who are doing the work study are going through. That I'm wondering if that's helping encourage them or be a good reality check to them of, like, no, this is a serious business. It's not just all fun and games. Because they can see what their classmates are going through, but they don't know how to help.
Yeah.
So you're like, aw. But then we get our sprinkles of people. Then we have, then it goes very quick of, like, okay, it's time, we're going to do this. But who was surprised or not surprised, or what did you think of how Overhaul essentially kind of knew the attack was coming, or did it seem like he figured it would come eventually?
I feel like he's smart. Super smart, and I feel as though he figured something like this was coming. Especially because I think if he were to find it unexpected, he would have definitely killed the henchmen, and we would have seen it.
True.
Because I feel like he would know.
Yeah. Well, he also has Chronostasis can hear the charge. Though I almost felt like he was touching the wall to feel the vibration, because we haven't really seen what Chronostasis can do so much. But that was interesting. So then we get the attack. How pumped were you both when everybody's outside and they're ready to go in? And you're just like, wait, what's going to happen? But then it's like Mimic busts through that door. Or that one's not Mimic. One of the other henchmen come out through the door and attack our team.
I was like, this is what we've been waiting for. Yes. We're at episode 7. Finally, the action is coming. But it was so cool to see kind of like the heroes and the officers come together and to save Aerie. And obviously, this, like, ended shortly. But, mm-hmm. I mean, we'll have another episode to talk about. But it was really, like, got me excited for what's to come.
Oh, yeah. No, this was super exciting. It's just, when My Hero Academia moves with action, they do such a great job of just keeping you engaged and keeping the pace going, mm-hmm. which I really appreciate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it just reminded me of kind of, like, similar, like, last season when it was the camp, how mm-hmm. Everything went down when the villains invaded the camp. So it just gave me, not PTSD, but it gave me flashbacks of, oh, my gosh, we're getting into it. So it's really cool.
I loved when we get to see Ryukyu as the, like, giant dragon lady, because I was wondering what she's going to do.
No, because I said, like, on the previous show, I was like, oh, is she going to turn into a dragon? Because she's a dragon hero. And I was like, correct. She turned into a dragon. It was crazy. She's Khaleesi.
Yes.
It's amazing. Like, oh, my gosh. It was really cool. And then her voice changed, too. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool to see. I'm like, oh, that's why she's number 9.
I think the thing for me, too, that I also really loved about this episode was we got to see, and they kind of mention it, that for this particular raid, they get a group of heroes together that feel whose quirk is very helpful and work well together.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. I like kind of seeing that, how at each stage, yes, the heroes whose most capable quirk was used.
True, because she shouldn't go inside in the small, tight spaces, right. So it makes sense. And then also, on top of that, it was nice to actually see more of the police working with quirks. Like, okay, let's do the official of the law. We'll serve a warrant, but all right. Oh, they attacked. We're allowed to go in then. You know, it's like they hit first. They get the advance. So then Overhaul goes to take Aerie away, and, like, that's the end of that episode. And I was like, ah!
Yeah, that cliffhanger, man. Yes.
Which leaves us in... Oh, anything else with that one?
No.
All right.
Really good.
Yes. Episode 71, Sun Eater of the Big Three. So we're on this, like, high of that episode of the raid and everything, and then it kind of slows it down just a hair, where we get Tamaki's his backstory of his childhood, and he's a student and meeting Mirio. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. And he's like, you
baby
shine.
Mirio. My gosh. I mean, this show also knows how to draw very adorable younger versions of these characters.
Right. He has such a baby face.
He still has a baby face,
Gosh, their relationship's so cute, and just to know how supportive Mirio is of Tamaki.
He's like, you were gonna say hero, right? Love hero. Like, that's the friend you want when you're a little kid at school and you're by yourself.
It's very endearing, especially Tamaki's disposition of just being very shy and very hard on himself. So just to know that he has support from the sun. It's just very, very good. You know, you would think that Muriel might be, like, into himself, but he's really not. He's such a great character who is so supportive of others, especially, you know, Tamaki needs that for sure, because he's like his own worst enemy.
Yeah.
The thing I find interesting is that Mirio and Midoriya are so hard on themselves all the time when it comes to trying to be a pro hero. Like, they want to be the best. They want to live up to the expectations that people have set for them. But I don't think they realize just how influential they are to the people around them. And this even kind of ties back to the last episode. Like, I don't think Midoriya realizes how influential he was in times of need to Ida or to Todoroki. Or I don't even know if Mirio realizes how much he influenced Tamaki growing up and how much that helped him. They're so focused on, you know, trying to do their best that I think they're kind of blinded by the good that they give, by the good vibe they give off on other people.
Yeah. Well, and then how it kind of circles back is Mirio's like, no, Tamaki, you've really influenced, he doesn't say, like, you've influenced me, but he's like, no, I was able to go on because of you. And it's sometimes you don't often think that maybe the character who's so strong needed somebody to essentially be their motivational person, you know, and so it's nice to hear that, like, the person who you think is so strong, it's like, no, I was able to do it because of you. And I think he's genuinely means it too.
And they're just opposites.
Yeah,
and opposites attract. Not
exactly.
Saying that I ship them, but I kind of ship them. But, like, it's like, not trying to make everything gay, but because, you know, I love things that are gay or queer. But they're just so a bromance, whatever you want to call it. They're really just a great pair together, and I feel like they need each other's, like, what they lack
go well together,
right? What they lack in, they need a little bit of one another to kind of, like, compensate each other, and they're just such a great friendship.
Yeah. Quick question.
I would ship it too.
Oh, yeah. Quick question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think this happened in the last episode, but there was a scene where Night Eye was really rooting for Mirio, basically kind of like you can do, like, in his head, like, you can do this Mirio. You guys know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. What do you think his motive or his purpose is? Like, do you think people are, like, he's kind of hoping that Midoriya will mess up and like, prove, oh, Mirio was the one who, the rightful one who should have gotten One for All? Because I feel like he is not supportive of Midoriya at all.
I don't think Night Eyes is as supportive as Deku is. Not as supportive of Deku as he should be. I think he more would only want Mirio to get the power because he, Night Eye, believes Mirio's the more suited person, but also then it would prove him right. Mm-hmm. That Night Eye's, like, prediction or mental prediction, like, this would be a better choice. I think Deku would have to do a bit more for him, for Night Eye to believe that Deku could do it.
He has to do a lot of, like, even with Aizawa, he needs to do a lot of building to get trust, to get, what's the word I'm looking for?
I think it's just, like, the whole underdog thing.
Yes.
Because Midoriya came out of nowhere, he didn't have a quirk, or did he have a quirk? But it was stolen. No, that's a whole theory. Anyways, I think it's just, I mean, Mirio's part of the big three, so of course Night Eye wants him to be the you know, All for, or what am I trying to say? He wants All Might to be the, or he wants Mirio to be the next All Might, per se. So it's just kind of like the whole underdog, I can't talk right now. Underdog thing.
Yeah. Well, or rather, it's like Mirio seems like such an obvious qualified choice, and Midoriya doesn't. So it's kind of like, but why? And yeah, as Ollie was saying, like, he's such an underdog that Night Eye, I don't feel Night Eye's a betting man. So he would go with the more obvious choice rather than take a chance. And I feel All Might's more like, I'll take a chance on someone.
Exactly. And I mean, that's what this series has been so much of, just Midoriya having to prove himself on the fact that All Might made the right decision, because no one ever understands it at first.
I like this. Ollie, you want to read that last quote on the JR about Midoriya?
Midoriya is known for changing people's minds.
It's true.
I agree of that. It seems like, I think, I don't feel Midoriya feels he's in a place that he has to prove himself, but I think he inherently shows people an alternate version of how things can go.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is kind of like redefining fate. Yeah. Which is the whole point proving Night Eye wrong, because it's like, no, All Might's not dead yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what we want to do. We want to change fate in order to purify that quote unquote prediction of All Might dying.
Mm-hmm. Then there's a whole bunch of exciting fights. We get the, so Mimic going into the wall and manipulating, like, the entire space. What did you guys think of that? I thought that was crazy.
I thought that's a pretty cool quirk.
That's a very useful quirk.
But I also think he looks cuter as a little bird boy.
Yeah.
Or bird thing.
It was weird that he went into a form of a man and then went into the wall. Did you guys notice that? He was like a regular-ish looking man and then went into the wall.
I don't know how that works.
Yeah, that was
maybe he's
weird.
Like All Might in that he goes to like a resting form.
Maybe.
And maybe then he needed to become a man in order to get into the wall. Is that what you're saying? I don't know. Sure. I just kind of accepted it. Kind of like I'm still confused with Night Eye's quirk. I just accept whatever happens on the screen. I'm like,
I like that. I like that we got to see like the movie aspect of it, like how it works essentially. Well, we get Mimic being all crazy and them doing the walls. All the different fighting I really enjoyed. So then we also get, like, we get to see the 8 bullets. And we have the larceny, crystallize, and food. Those are some creepy and formidable, in a way, bad guys. What do you all think on those?
They were very interesting to watch in the sense that, like, I don't completely hate them. Or I'm not completely against them, just because they had, like, a very interesting speech toward the end where they felt, like, trash and useless and no one liked them. And I feel
relatable.
Sure.
Oh, my God.
Well, no, it's just I feel like that can be a lot of characters in this universe. They feel useless or they feel like they're not good enough.
They're discarded. And literally and figuratively. Yeah.
Literally, like you're saying, discarded. And they just got in the wrong group. They just got recruited by a person with the wrong motivation.
Yes. It's very true. Because it's almost like, oh, you kind of sympathize with them because you feel bad about being kind of like outcast of society because of you were wronged. And yet this guy is a very toxic person. And I think that's just goes to show like toxic people can really take advantage of people who have been wronged. Mm-hmm. And that's Overhaul. He has them in his grasp and he's brainwashed them.
Oh, yeah. No, because actually, I'm glad you said that, because when Tamaki's fighting them, he has a moment that he's like, oh, my gosh, these people have been brainwashed. Mm-hmm. But if you were that low, anything that brings you up would be easy to influence you, for sure. Yeah, I love that fight scene, and the vast hybrid, the Chimera Kraken, was so cool. And our guy Tamaki gets his moment of shining and having that believing in yourself and having a little bit of that cheerleader of a friend bring you up of like, no, I can do this myself. And then Fat Gum going, no, he can do it.
I loved the fact that Fat Gum stood up for him, because there was that one hero, what, Lock?
Yes.
I think was his name. Yeah, he was like, oh, you're just going to leave him behind?
Yeah.
But Fat Gum really realizes, you know, Tamaki's biggest struggle was himself. He dealt with such self-doubt. Right. He was so upset if anything went wrong. He was someone who strived for perfection. And the fact that he stood up and said, I'm going to take this moment to help you out. And it might be because there might have been an extra motivation, at least in my mind. I was thinking, oh, he saw Mirio solo. That kind of maybe inspired him, because it's like, wow, my light, my sunshine, basically, is not the way I've ever seen him before. So maybe that kind of inspired him, like, I'm going to step up now as well.
Or also when Mirio runs off and is risking it all to go save the day, and he's like, I can't let him down.
Yeah.
I thought the crystal eating was smart. I am curious if that will be explored more. So I think I was thinking more along the lines solely of regular edible food, but it's like, if he eats paper, like, I mean, what are things you could,
if you could level up
anything
in this world, like, you could, he leveled up there. I mean, it was cool how he's using the octopus's muscles and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I was just really here. Tamaki got beat up too.
Oh man, but with the food guy eating the tentacles.
Yeah, I was definitely cringing.
I wonder if he feels that. Oh, or if it's just an extension of his body, that it's like, if it's an extension of his body and he feels that, or if it's just like, oh, it's like a piece of hair, you don't feel it.
Or is it a little bit like you feel it, but you're not like your arm getting bitten in half, kind of. That's a good question. He didn't seem to be
hurt.
He didn't scream out in pain, but it was taking energy.
That's why he's so strong. Like, he can endure so much. And I think this episode definitely gave me the feels.
Yeah.
It gave me the feels with their whole backstory. It gave me, like, when you were talking about Fat Gum and how he's standing up for Tamaki, I thought, that made me really, like, not cry, but it made me very, like, emotional, like, seeing that. It gave me chills, because he was basically hyping up Tamaki, who is such a strong character, who's endured so much, like, not self-hatred, but just been so hard on themselves, and he's an introvert, and, like, we disregard introverts so much. There's so much to them that we don't know, because they are afraid, but they are so strong at the same time, as we've seen him stand up to these three bullets.
Yeah.
Well, three of the bullets, but...
Yes.
It was amazing. And then the chicken leg, oh my gosh, their symbiotic quirks work together, but he took them down, and he was the smart
one to figure out their quirks, too, to how to beat them and realize, they're only good because they work together. Yeah. So I really like, he got his time to shine. Anything else in the episode?
I just want to shout out Renji90998 in the chat, who says, Tamaki pretty much shows that an introvert can step up into a leader quality. Mm. Yes!
Yes. Yeah, it's nice, too, because then we're not having characters stuck in one position. You know, they're only this. It's like, no, he can grow, and he just needed that, you know, that little lift of throw the baby bird out the nest. It's like, no, you can fly. You can do this. And I think he took that and went on, and which I'm like, yes! We've had a couple of – so now this is our second one of somebody, like, really time to shine, because we had our Red Riot, too. So it's like, yay! Anything on these episodes? We're going to hold on predictions, but –
really solid episode.
Yes.
It's only going to get better from here.
Yes. All right. We're going to hold on to predictions. We're going to get in. So we're going to hold on predictions. We'll do some news, and then we'll come back to our predictions. So Veronica has some exciting news.
I do. I have exciting news regarding the second My Hero Academia movie, Whee! My Hero Academia Heroes Rising. This will be released in Japan on December 20th, and we actually just got a visual for a new character who will be introduced in the movie called Pro Hero Hawks. And the thing that I found interesting about this article was that this character is a character that comes in later on in the manga. Mm. And here's the thing. We all here are anime only, and I feel a lot of people are also anime only. And when this struck me as interesting, because I'm like, are they going to explore something that's in the manga that maybe we don't know yet in the anime? And that's, I think, what they're kind of hinting at, is there is a possibility that they will kind of, it might have some type of spoiler to something that happens in future arcs.
Interesting.
Now, my question to you guys is, I feel the first My Hero Academia was a great standalone. You didn't necessarily need to watch the series to enjoy it, and you didn't feel like anything was spoiled for you. I don't think the second movie is going to do huge spoilers because it doesn't want to take away from the series, but what would you do if you were anime only and there's a potential to, you know, be spoiled from something that comes later on in the manga? Like, would you not watch this movie, or would you, like, not care? Personally, I'm someone who doesn't care about spoilers. I'll watch it regardless, but I know some people are very... no spoilers. I want to watch it as is.
I think I'd go into the movie anyways, and then either I would hurry up and read the manga before I go see the movie, or I'd watch the movie and then go read the manga. Like, I think we have such access to anime and manga now. It's at our fingertips. So it's not hard to either hurry up and read as much as you can and then watch it, or vice versa. And I think it's such a... diehard fandom that I think people would be excited to see the movie regardless of how far along that goes.
Speaking in the chat, Breakop says they mentioned him in episode 2 of this season, which kind of like seeing him a picture, he looks so familiar unless I've seen pictures of him before too.
Like he has been talked about, but like he hasn't been introduced.
Sure.
So to me, if I were to go and watch the movie, I'd be like, oh, who's this guy? Mm-hmm. Because I haven't read the manga and he hasn't had his introduction really in this series.
I don't think there'll be spoilers. I think they're going to like save anything that is going to be spoiler heavy. I think they'll save it for an actual like in the season, whenever he does introduce.
Like they might have sprinkles of it, but not like.
Hints, teasers.
Not, oh my gosh, someone lived, died, or something epic.
I don't think that'll be like smart on them to include that.
Yeah.
I personally don't think it's going to be spoilery either. I think if there are quote-unquote spoilers, it'll be stuff like that where they just introduce a concept or a character earlier than the series.
Yeah. Which that's not uncommon with books, too, of like, okay, this character doesn't come until, like, you know, book 7, but we're only on, like, book 1, so let's bring it forward because it's more interesting to introduce them sooner.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's, I mean, that's also the great thing. Please leave a comment. What do you think? And reading the manga, watching the show, getting forward and back, leave a comment. And if you're watching, thank you so much. Thumbs up. Click that subscribe button. iTunes, listen, leave a comment. I think anime and manga, we kind of do a little bit of both, and, you know, or you do one or the other, or you kind of overlap, and it's not, you know, it's no big deal if you watch it, read it, what, you know, we just want to consume it all.
Yeah.
So, anything else on that, or somebody else had any other thoughts?
He's the number two hero at this point. I don't think that is a spoiler. JR, thank you, JR, in the ATX.
Yeah, I personally don't see ranking of heroes as spoilers.
No, I think it'd be only, and even if we met them, it'd be more if there's something they do, and we see that sooner than something, but it's okay.
It's going to be a good
movie. We'll just be excited, that's for sure.
I mean, there's no word as of now about when it's supposed to be released here in the U.S., so we'll just keep on the lookout, but it will be out in Japan on December 20th.
Yay, thank you. Also, quick shout-out news, Annie Awards, so it's an animation awards program awards. A couple animes that are in there, which I'm so excited about, so congratulations to them. So I haven't done the winners yet, but Oko's Inn, which I talked about on this show, it's a great movie. Kind of deals with grieving and loss, but not in a depressing way, and moving on and growing up, and just like, oh, it's so sweet and cute. Also, Promare, great action movie by Studio Trigger. That's a really good one. And I did not get to see this one yet, but I remember big talk about it, Weathering With You. So those are a couple anime movies nominated.
I'm super excited for Weathering With You because I believe it's the same creators as Your Name, and I loved Your Name.
Yeah, so congrats to them for being nominated. We'll let you know who's winning, and shout out to them, and it's like, yay! It's so exciting with anime getting recognition across platforms and everything like that. So awesome! Would we do a review of the movie? Most likely, because we talked about the first movie as well on the show, so we'll be doing that. And then ideally, if we can cover it, we'd be covering it. We covered the first one, so stay tuned!
Whenever we get the chance to see it, I'm sure
absolutely. We're like, yes, we will be there.
I figure like January, February, maybe in the U.S.
Yeah. generally soon thereafter-ish.
Yeah.
All right, let's do some quick predictions, and then after our predictions, we'll get into our holiday Japan crates. All righty, what do we think is going to happen next? Raid is going down.
A part of me feels like that the UA students are going to get pulled out once the League of Villains are introduced. Because there was this whole talk this episode about, oh, if the League of Villains are involved, you can't be involved or anything like that. And they have this theory, oh, they're not involved because they're not around. But we know that they're lurking in the shadows. So I feel like once that hits the fan, things are going to get crazier. They're going to have to pull the UA students, at least, you know, Deku Class 1A. Yeah. And I feel like that's going to cause a big stir, especially knowing Deku's drive to want to save Eri.
Oh, you got one?
Oh, no. So are you saying the League of Villains are going to fight, like, is it going to be like a triple threat? Like, League of Villains versus the heroes versus...
I feel like something's going to happen with the League of Villains. Like, I feel like
everyone wants to just fight each other.
It's going
to
be like a sneak attack, like, oh, but you didn't see us coming. You're like, oh, to either the heroes or, oh, but you didn't see us coming. I'm going to betray you to...
Maybe. Right. I think the League of Villains want, like Shigaraki wants to, like, team up buddy-buddy with Overhaul, but he's going to turn on him, I think.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh,
but then it's hard to put a fast one over Overhaul because he knows everything that's going on, apparently. That's true. He's so annoying, conniving.
He's Veronica, dumb smart. I don't like it.
The way you were saying it made me think how they'll be involved. And I thought it was naive if somebody else was like, well, we don't know the League of Villains is involved. I'm like, they felt so dismissive about, like, oh, it's a... They would never work with them. I was like, wait a minute, you don't know that. It just felt really, like, nonchalant about it. So I think they'll figure out League of Villains is involved. Then they'll go, hey, Class 1A, you can't be involved. And of course Class A is going to do what they do and go do it anyway. Mm-hmm. So then they're going to be their own rescue mission and someone is going to die.
Sparky, Sparky, Boom, Man is going to be like, I got to go anyway.
Yes. Yeah. So no spoilers if you read the manga. We're only talking about the anime. So I know we made some possibly crazy predictions, but please don't spoil it. So, yeah, those are where I'm thinking. So, I think someone has to die.
One of the pro heroes is going to die.
Somebody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it has to, but I almost wouldn't think we need it to be someone close to us because it needs to, like.
I'll make a wild prediction and say I don't think it's going to be All Might. But I do think it will be a pro hero. Mm-hmm.
I don't think All Might's going to die yet. Yeah.
Not yet.
That almost feels like the red herring. Like, yeah, he's only going to die. I'm like, not yet. I think it's going
to
be someone else.
Still too iconic.
Yes. Mm. So we'll see. Those are our predictions for now. Alrighty, so let's get into some Japan Crate Happy Holidays box. So we're super excited. Yay! I love that. Alright. So, oh wait, hold on. Holding up the box for the single star. Nice. There we go. Got our happy holidays. I got our happy red and green. Do we remember red?
No.
Vocab
word? What about red?
Aka. And what's the color for green?
Tell me!
Midori, like Midori Sours.
Oh.
Yes. Midori. And so we get our booklet inside, which is the thing to break it all down in case you do not read Japanese. Don't worry, they got you. So it breaks down all the yummy goodness. So we'll grab just a couple quick items that are special. So there are, I was like, where is it? These Kit Kats. Not these ones. Oh, there's so many good ones. Got an exciting.
Ooh, wow.
We always go for
Coca-Cola,
the drink.
Right? We're like, yes. Here we go. So, we have chestnut Kit Kats.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, I thought those were onions at first. I was like, no.
You're all, Carrie, I don't know about... Hold on, sorry.
I'm love like, onions.
All right, let's give these a quick try. Pass.
Oh, yeah. Gracias.
Yay. Are we eating them now?
Yes. Gonna try it for you all. Give you a little bit of ASMR, too.
Oh, man.
So, these are chestnut Kit Kats. Whole bag to keep you in the autumn mood. These chestnut Kit Kats are another limited release from Nestle Japan. They feature wafers with sweet chestnut cream covered in sweet white chocolate. Mm. What do y'all think? Dig it?
I dig.
It tastes like hazelnut, basically. Very good. I like it.
I like the variety ones. All right. Oh, yes, this was one that sounded fun. Rich cheese pizza chips.
Oh, my.
Right? So we'll go the other end. We got our sweet.
Gotta get our savory. Okay.
Open it up.
All right. Pass it down.
Oh.
Mmm. Mmm. Nice.
Wow, that smells like cheese.
Yep. So.
Oh, yeah.
Rich cheese pizza chips. A Calbee, a popular brand in Japan known for their savory snacks, released these seasonal exclusive chips made with four different cheeses. Sorry if I say these cheeses wrong. Emmental, blue cheese, Camembert, and cheddar.
Mm.
Camembert?
Yeah. There we go, Camembert. Let me see.
Very good.
Yeah. Camembert, I think. That is on
What do you think?
It's good.
Very good. I like those.
All right.
Delicious. Thank you, Japan Crate.
Thank you, Japan Crate. So check those out. Excuse me, sorry. Use the code AFTERBUZZ, get some discount off of your first premium box. So this is a premium box. So you get everything displayed here. So yummy. Go check it out. All right. Thank you so much for watching, listening. Early happy holidays, because I know we're into that holiday season. And where can people find you online?
Hey, guys. It's Ollie Drennan. You can follow your dream hero at Ollie Dreamer on Twitter and Instagram.
Hey everyone, Veronica Valencia. I'm just a pro hero that you can follow along at. It's me, Veronica _V.
And my name's Carrie Lane, another pro hero here. I don't think I have my hero name just yet. I know. Maybe over the holiday break we'll think of something. And you can find me online at Carrie D. Lane again. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. Thank you so much for watching and listening, and we'll see y'all later. Sayonara!
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.